This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
This is Danny and Dusty.
It's not your problem, Doc. You don't have to mix up in this.
That is a hell of a thing for you to say to me.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm your Huckleberry.
The Fan.
Hour number 3 here on Danny and Dusty, whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on youtube.com/1080AM or twitch.tv/1080AM. A little bit of a shorter segment here, so I'm going to pivot because I want to give the expansion talk a little bit. Shams Charania was just on ESPN. He is now saying that the Lakers may rest LeBron James tonight against Charlotte and Thursday night against the Portland Trailblazers coming out of the break.
Oh, you mean tomorrow and Thursday?
Because remember, LeBron James sat out of the All-Star game with an ankle injury that has bothered him for years.
Counterpoint. Do the Lakers need LeBron James for the Hornets or the Blazers in their minds?
The Hornets? Absolutely not. Blazers? I mean, don't get me wrong, Luka's a certified Blazer killer. He's a certified everyone killer. But that team is shorthanded. They have Jackson Hayes as their lone big man. Luka's on a minutes restriction, likely still.
What are the Blazers looking like coming out of the All-Star break, though? Because
it does remain to be seen just how far that plug is in the wall.
Okay.
Is it unplugged?
Look, don't get me wrong. I'd love to see the Blazers pound the Lakers.
One of my
favorite things to watch ever. But
minimum
if you are the Lakers and you're like, we can get two more extra days rest for LeBron James, and oh wow, our first two games are the Hornets or in the Blazers. Yeah, I could see why he's not going to play.
I'm going to pull this up real quick, not having looked at it, just to see how close guys are.
He's 40 years old.
Let's see games played. So
again, that's like a Pete Carroll 40, not a Bill Belichick 40.
So for a lot of bonuses in the league, both league-wide and sponsorship-wise, you know, if you're a shoe deal guy or something like that, 65 games, the all-NBA threshold and MVP threshold, it also holds true for a lot of their bonuses. So Anthony Simons is at 51 games. Jeremy Grant is at 41 games. DeAndre Ayton is at 40 games. Just looking at that, I kind of go, are they going to try to get to that threshold?
Well, DA won't be playing regardless.
Well, that's true. You're right.
With
the calf injury, he's not going to hit it no matter what.
Yeah.
Because even if he comes back directly in a month, I believe it's 15 games remaining.
Yeah. And then there's 27? Is that what
27 total left.
27 games total left.
So do we see maybe a couple of guys play a little bit down the stretch to try to hit that threshold?
Well,
maybe.
That'd be most of the games if 65 is it and JG's at, what, 41, you said?
And that's what I'm saying. Like, is that a situation? Or did a five-year, $160 million deal assuage any of those bonus concerns? Anthony, though, is at 51. He'd only need 14, so he'd play half down the stretch. Or is there some unspoken agreement about, hey, we need y'all to chill. We'll trade you this summer. That'll be your payoff.
Maybe.
Look, I am not saying it's happening. But
Yusuf Nurkic said it. His little fella in Portland needs to go to Orlando.
I will say, I had more than a handful of people come up to me at Oregon Rutgers and ask why Orlando didn't press harder for Anthony.
That is something I will not understand. Unless it's what we talked about last week.
Orlando's a summertime deal team, and so is Portland.
God.
I do. The more I look at it, the more I talk to people, the more I bounce that idea off of other folks in the NBA, that seems to be a thing that once I say it, they think about it for a second, and they go, that does actually make some sense.
So you're not going to make a deal that makes you better now because you're just going to do it in a few months?
No, I mean, does it make them better now? Or does a team, I'm going to use a Neil Olsheyism. It takes two to tango.
Okay, but.
Because we saw this most recently with Danny Avdia.
I mean, the whole thing here would be like the Franz Wagner deal kicks in July 1,
sure.
Which makes it easier to make the transaction happen because you have, whether it's
million to 41 million.
Anthony Simons or, you know, I don't know, Jeremy Grant or whatever, the money doesn't add up right now, right? Yeah. Like, the money just doesn't add up with, or DeAndre Ayton, right?
Well, whatever the situation is.
Even though you're
is.
Not sending DeAndre Ayton to Orlando, they have plenty of seven-footers.
Well,
but
they do like to collect them like Infinity Stones.
If it was Ant, then the money doesn't add up until July 1 when Franz Wagner, then his deal
or
kicks in.
Any combination of any transaction. And the thing
is, but I'm just going back to the one that we talked about last week, which is, or 2 weeks ago at the deadline, which... You know, if that was to make the case, okay, I understand why you're not doing the business deals now. Like, I get why you wouldn't do them now, but if it's, hey, it could match up right now, and, oh, by the way, the Orlando Magic, who are sitting seventh in the East, Anthony Simons would make them better immediately.
Probably.
And for the Blazers, it would be, hey, we bring somebody in, and we're not in the winning business right now, but we can get him familiar with who we are, what we do, and then moving forward, that would make them better as far as what the end season of this season's goal is.
And I think also with the way the Blazers are operating in this tank period, they want to see where their pick falls.
Yeah.
To see what potential players they may be in
make
line
keep
for.
Keep on falling.
You know?
Yeah, so, wait till the lottery is done and so you know where you're at.
The general idea, at least.
Yeah.
Because if you land top three, that changes your outlook and what you can do, who you can trade, what you're willing to put up, what you're not. And I think, the more I think about it, the more I think it's the right way to go. Don't be wrong. I wanted action for the team at the deadline, but also knowing what was out there, I understand why they didn't make the moves they didn't make.
Also, if you can help get yourself to that direction of being in that top three conversation,
I don't think that doing that
move does
precludes them from doing that.
If it was to get, now with this deal that we're talking about, I don't think anybody at the Blazers really would be targeting in those top three. It would affect it, right?
Yeah.
If it was a big from Orlando that they would be getting in return, that doesn't hurt it.
No,
doesn't hurt it at all.
But I also think if you're talking about making a bigger move, you don't make those in the midseason.
No.
Unless you're giving away Luka Doncic for crackers.
Yeah, I don't know. We saw a lot of that at the trade deadline, though.
Well,
not just Luka. I mean, we saw De'Aaron Fox move. I mean, we saw some pretty big swings.
You saw one guy demand out, and you saw the Raptors spend way too much money on Brandon Ingram.
Yeah, but big names moved. They made their swings, and we just want to see it here.
Coming up next, though, we will dive into, is the NBA ready for expansion? There was a lot of talk about that. All-Star Weekend, all of the owners are all there. The biggest swinging you-know-whats are all in attendance. And these discussions start happening because there's traction behind it.
Yeah.
And it's coming. Just how soon is it coming? And what does that world actually look like? Is the NBA ready for expansion? Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. Something
without one. NBA expansion. It's coming.
Oh, no way. We never talk about this.
We don't really know when yet. But there's been some talk about 27-28. About an unveil.
Vegas and Seattle. Yeah. Look,
Mexico City is not in there.
No.
It's not going to happen. I will do something heinous if that happens. Because everything that comes along with that is a nightmare for everyone involved. Everyone involved.
What comes along with it? I don't know what that means.
Travel, security, customs, having a team and players live in Mexico.
Yep, that's a big one.
Mexico. Well,
they do already have to deal with customs and international travel with Toronto.
In Toronto. Which is a pain, but they don't have cartels running cities.
Well, here's
that's a valid point.
Here's the deal, though, with Toronto. It is such a, you can have a travel where it goes, you know, you're in Detroit, Chicago, and then you go up to Toronto.
Right.
The San Antonio to Mexico City flight is not the same flight as
the
Toronto.
It's like a 6-hour flight.
It's, okay, I'm trying to remember how long it was. The LA to Mexico City, I think, was like 4.5, maybe.
Okay. Well, so yeah, Texas to there, it's got to be shorter.
Yeah.
San Antonio's closer. Why did I think Oklahoma City? It's about a 3-hour flight.
Yeah.
It's
a 3-hour and 40-minute flight to LA or LA to Mexico City as well. So it's not, I mean, it's not like in the grand scheme of things, that's not that huge of a deal. But put it into perspective, right? The flight from Salt Lake City to Portland is considered long in the NBA.
Yes.
And they're like, it's too long. Mm-hmm. That's the closest team to Portland. They're like, it's too long of a flight. That flight is, what, 2.5?
Yeah.
2.5 hours? So you're adding an extra hour onto that with nowhere else to, like, stop and have a game, whatever. Like, think of back-to-backs going to Mexico City would be hell. Elevation is also way higher than Denver. I might be for it just so Denver gets off their damn high horse about their elevation.
Yeah, because Mexico City is 1.5 miles high. And when you get up, so Mexico City is basically built on a mountain.
Are they going to tear down Tenochtitlan to build a stadium?
Yeah.
An arena?
I mean, the arena in Mexico City, here's the other thing.
7,349 feet.
That's hey. the base.
Suck on that, Nuggets.
The base elevation of Mexico City. Yeah. Like, when you actually get up there.
Oh, you're so cute.
I believe the soccer stadium is above 8,000 feet, so it's literally 1.5 miles.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Well, Mexico City's weird. It's like in the top, built in like the top of like a volcano.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's like Mount St. Helens blew its lid, and they're like,
there.
City.
Yeah,
Then you have Tenochtitlan built on water.
Then you have massive security concerns. Like, if you've never been to Mexico City, there are parts of it that are absolutely beautiful.
I had a great time there.
Do they have cocaine detectors as you walk into an arena?
The 45-minute drive from the airport to the basketball stadium, you will see things that you have never seen before in your life.
If you can see them, because the driving is insane.
Yes.
It is insanity.
But yeah, you're asking players to live in another country where there's not an easy access to America.
No.
In the sense of like Toronto, it's very easy to deal with, right? It's very simple.
I love Mexico City, though. It's a cool place.
It is.
It's a really cool place.
But there are very real concerns about having NBA players living there.
Very real.
It's a non-starter.
You think people don't want to come to Portland?
Oh, God. Yeah.
You would have, if Mexico City got the number one pick, Cooper Flagg would be like, no.
Back to. Yeah.
Downtown Portland would be like the Hamptons.
Yeah.
But with expansion, there are a lot of questions that come. So first of all, the thing that is holding up expansion is the Boston Celtics sale. Once that is resolved, the ball will get rolling. And
Boston is the balls.
And talking to people who are directly sourced, they feel like that the team is very likely to sell for around $6 billion. So the valuations of teams will go up. With that, Howard Beck outlines this in his article in The Ringer, there is a potential windfall of $12 billion to the 30 current owners for rights fees.
Is that good?
So $6 billion for each team. I had not heard it be that high. I had heard $4 billion for just the rights fees. So the rights fees are getting even higher now. So the idea that this isn't going to happen, no, it's happening. If you're talking about anywhere between $8 and $12 billion cash in owners' pockets, the players do not touch this. Expansion is coming. But what comes with that is the quote-unquote dilution of talent, because you're going to have two expansion drafts, or one expansion draft for two teams, which means there's now 36 roster spots open. And the idea of like, well, now you're going to have a team headlined by Markelle Fultz and Yusuf Nurkic, and it's like somehow that's a problem that more people are making. Like, they're bad teams every year.
Yeah, I think the thing that people would be wary of is the parity in the league diluting even more, mm-hmm. right? To where that one star player that you have, it becomes magnified even more that, hey, that's their championship every single year. And that's a real criticism, but
the game is growing. International basketball, it's not caught up. You heard it all All-Star Weekend, the world is caught up. No, they haven't. The top-level talent is catching up. You are not getting the volume of players out of Lithuania and Serbia. Now, France, different story. You are getting a volume of players out of France. That's a real thing. But you're going to see expansion needs to happen. Like, we've got guys like Lonnie Walker, who is a good NBA rotation player who just signed with Philadelphia 76ers after spending the first half, for two-thirds of the season, with Zalgiris. Like, those guys should not be playing overseas.
Okay, but how many teams have a star player or are lacking a star player in the NBA?
Star or superstar? Because I'd say there's anywhere between 10 and 12
I can think of one.
Superstars in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So more than half the league is missing a superstar.
And I think that star players, though,
there's 30 to 35 stars.
Well, you have several teams that have none.
Sure.
And that's going to get exacerbated because guys are still going to go and team up together where you are going to have and that's where the dilution of talent happens. So you add two more teams to that, there's not going to be enough for the players that are going to pull everybody else to competitiveness. And that is the dilution of talent. It's not guys who are bench players that are having to go overseas where they still make really damn good livings. It is, no, do you have enough of the high-end players to still make it palatable? It's the same problem like in the NFL. They talk about this with the quarterback position, right? Right now, the NFL's in a tough spot because there isn't 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL.
No.
Like, there's, like, guys that can win you games.
There's take 15. You to
some, yeah, there are. And that's an issue. That would then become an issue with the NBA. It's not the back-end players. It's the players that matter, right?
But here's the thing. With the NFL, those 15 have changed, not changed teams, but have been on different teams. Like, the Bengals were bad until they got Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you find these situations. The Chargers were, you know, they got lucky with going from basically Phillip Rivers to Justin Herbert.
Yep.
But, like, these great, I mean, the Texans.
Chargers have actually had a very good history of quarterbacks.
No, they really have. The Texans, the Commanders,
mm-hmm.
teams that weren't good. I mean, the Texans are quite literally, technically an expansion franchise.
Yeah.
But, like, now that there are times when good teams cycle out. The Patriots are cycled out.
Yep.
But now they have their quarterback because when you there's more teams at the bottom, which means there's more chance for those teams to kind of climb to the top. And it creates more churn in the league. And it gets 18 championships in L.A. and Boston out of the way in the NBA.
I don't think it will. I don't think that will happen because in the NBA,
you have more movement.
The movement is all the time. And where do they always end up? Right? Like, I think the point you're trying to make is a good front office is going to be a good front office
anywhere,
regardless of how many teams are in the league. Right? That is a fact.
And you don't think people are going to want to go to Seattle and Las Vegas?
Vegas. I think they will. I don't know. I don't know about Seattle.
Seattle was a damn good franchise when they had one.
Yeah, it was a really good one. But it wasn't a place that was alluring a bunch of free agents too. It's a far bigger city than Portland, for sure.
And are you dying to get out of there? Like, there weren't players flocking out of Seattle.
No, that was such a different time, though. Mm-hmm. Quite literally, the whole team flocked out of there.
Well, yeah. God, that's... wow. Sorry, Sonics fans.
Well, I'm not. It happened.
Wow.
It's not my fault. Don't blame me. Blame Clay Bennett.
It's true. Broke boy Clay Bennett.
Don't blame me.
Who has a title contending team, and they're not even going to be in the tax this year.
Well,
think about that.
I think that's really good roster build they have there.
It's gross.
Which he has nothing to do with.
You see Bill Simmons? Yeah, no, he doesn't. You see Bill Simmons, his thing that he floated out there?
Hmm.
If the Hornets win the lottery, he just threw them out there and said, would you take a package of 8 first-round picks from the Thunder?
For Cooper Flagg?
For Cooper Flagg, no. And the number one pick. That's what I said, too, is like, no, because what are the odds you're ever going to hit on any of those 8?
No, I wouldn't touch it.
No, you take what you have.
And again, in 5 years, I may eat crow on this. Wemby is the only player in the last 20 years that I would take over Cooper Flagg.
Oh, all right.
In the draft.
He's really damn good. He's really good.
Like, if you take a look, I was talking to a scout, I want to say probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, and we kind of did who is the best number one overall pick in the NBA in the last 20 years, which would exclude LeBron. And I go, do you think Cooper could be better than AD? Because I think AD is probably the guy in the last 20 years. Or Wemby.
You're saying AD, not AB, not Anthony Bennett?
Yeah, yeah, no.
Not AD, Anthony Bennett.
Anthony Davis. As far as, like, you are sure this guy is going to be all-NBA, Hall of Fame caliber talent. And that's where I have Cooper.
That's pretty good. That's a good spot to be.
I could be totally wrong, but if there was ever somebody I was going to tie my wagon to, as far as being that guy, it's him.
So 20 years ago, we'd go back to Andrew Bogut.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of guys that didn't go number one. Like Kevin Durant would fall into that.
Yep.
Even though he didn't go number one.
He didn't go number
two.
One. Yeah.
So you're going guys that have gone number one.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of really good
players. There's a lot of really good players in there. Blake Griffin's on that list. Blake Griffin, if not for the injuries, is a freaking Hall of Famer.
Derrick Rose.
Yeah. Again, not for the injuries. Hall of Famer.
Kyrie.
Hall of Famer.
There's some bad ones, though.
Oh, there's some really bad ones.
Like Anthony Bennett, Andrew Wiggins, who has had a fine career.
Really good career.
He's had a fine career. Ben Simmons, Markelle Fultz.
Fultz, I think, is more injury-based than anything else. That's a freak one.
And I don't know, a mental block where he couldn't shoot the basketball.
Well, it wasn't just a mental thing. It was a nerve thing in his shoulder.
Yeah. Well, it was ugly.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Simmons is more the mental thing.
And DeAndre Ayton,
yeah,
as a number one pick, was solid.
Yeah. I mean, the redraft is obviously Luka, but it's the redraft.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're going of the bona fide number one overalls. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You'd have to go back, and because there was a really good run, but there were also a ton of whiffs, too. Mm-hmm. Like, this is nothing new, because you went LeBron, Yao, and then before that was Kwame Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Oops. Then Kenyon Martin, Elton Brand, Michael Olowokandi, and then you go Allen Iverson, Tim Duncan. Those are pretty good.
Yeah.
Those are pretty good. There's ebbs and flows this thing. But been in quite a downturn, though.
Look, there's a reason why the cutoff for me was 20 years, because there are top 50 players.
Yeah, if you go back like 25, 30 years, there's some really good players in there.
Yeah. You have arguably the greatest player of all time, the best power forward of all time.
It's almost as if the one and done rule coincided with this precipitous drop off. Huh, weird.
Interesting.
Weird.
Coming up next, it's franchise tag season. There's one name at the top of the board that everybody's already talking about. We'll get to that next year. But first, here's Big Kahuna Sports Center Update.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
The NFL is the beast that just doesn't stop, as we're all the way into franchise tag season soon, huh? How about this?
How about that? Yeah, I think it started at, 1 o'clock our time this afternoon?
Yeah. Not a lot of action is going to happen. I think that the main guy who's going to be tagged is T. Higgins, Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver. Outside of that, because they want to keep him around, dude, they have a big offseason. They have to try to figure out a way with a ridiculously cheap owner in Mike Brown to pay Jamar Chase, pay Trey Hendrickson, and they're going to franchise tag T. Higgins.
And Joe Burrow's going to restructure.
Joe Burrow restructuring is the only way that they're going to do that, but you still got to convince Mike Brown that, hey, remember that Super Bowl that we went to a few years ago?
Yeah,
when
it was
worth it.
You
actually opened up your pocketbook? Maybe we should do that again to try and win more games and sell more tickets and more merch. Mike?
It's a tough place to be if you're a broke boy owner.
Outside of that, I think the only other people that they're thinking could be on that franchise tag is Trey Smith of the Chiefs, because that's a lower franchise tag. They could keep an offensive lineman that they want to hold that offensive line together with the duct tape that they have financially to do it. And then Byron Murphy in Minnesota for the Vikings. Those are the only kind of three names, unless they have no faith that J.J. McCarthy is going to be okay, and they have to do it Sam Darnold, and to keep Sam Darnold around. That would be not in the best interest of the Minnesota Vikings to give all of that money to Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold was great because you were only having to pay him $10 million.
Yes, that was part of the value of allowing to do everything else around him. As it pertains to T. Higgins, it's interesting because, yes, the Bengals are cheap and obnoxious and everything as far as the ownership is concerned. They don't seem to really care about winning.
No, I think they do. I think that since they got Burrow,
they care about winning a little bit more.
But just they don't want to pay too much. Come on, let's not get serious here.
But there's been people that, at least I respect in the NFL community, who think that T. Higgins should be paid on par with a number one wide receiver. I don't know if I fall in that camp, but if he's not in that group, if you say he's at the very end of a legitimate number one option,
mm-hmm,
I think I'm okay with that.
Yeah, you don't pay him number one money because he's not your number one.
Yes.
Jamar Chase is. And if you can't come to a terms on a deal with Jamar Chase, then you're going to have to pay him number one money.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can keep him for 1 year, then you throw the franchise tag. It's not as punitive against your salary cap, but you're going to, at some point, you're going to have to pony up bucks, and you're going to have to pay a little bit extra if you're the Cincinnati Bengals. They're never willing to do that or want to do it. It will be dependent on how much Joe Burrow is willing to restructure and how much money they're willing to pay up front. Because, look, the restructure for Burrow, it's nothing more than Mike Brown writing a big check now.
Yes.
The ownership writing the big check now, and it alleviates your salary cap space
going forward
several years.
Yes.
But you've still got to pay T. Higgins a bunch of money. Look, Don't pay him as a number one because he's not your number one receiver. Ja'Marr Chase. It's not even close.
Are you comfortable giving the franchise tag when the non-exclusive tag, which he would be hit with, would be just a shade under 26 million, 25.7?
That's a lot of money. I mean,
when the highest paid wide receiver, I believe, is 36 million a year right now. Does 26 sound right for T. Higgins?
That's where he probably would get on that free agent market.
That's kind of one of the, like, you don't want to franchise tag guys because you're going to make them angry because you're only guaranteeing the 1 year.
1 year, but it's fully guaranteed.
But it is fully guaranteed, and you do this enough, and you will very much frustrate guys because you're playing with their livelihoods. Because if something goes out there and they do get hurt, it hurts them drastically.
Mm-hmm.
May I say one thing?
Yeah.
In terms of this whole franchise tag and you're playing with their livelihoods and what they can bring home and whatnot. When it's in the bank of quarterbacks or receivers or whatever, so with for a wide receiver, it's in what? It's in the, what did you say it was? In the 20-something million range?
25.
I don't want to hear about messing with your livelihood.
Yep.
You're talking about $25 million for a single season worth of work that is outside of what you have already made and outside of what you will make moving forward. I don't want to hear about messing with your livelihood.
Yeah, the idea that the franchise tag, you don't want to, like where you get caught with the messing with the guys is you don't actually give them a legitimate contract offer.
No. Well, and because the
you're
whole
just
thing
on
the-
a, you're just on a 1 year. Here's the guaranteed money. We know we're not going to be able to keep you much longer, so we're not going to pony up a legitimate
offer.
But that
money is what? The average of the top five earners at that position? Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I believe.
I think it's five.
So if that's the case, I don't want to hear about messing with your...
But no, it's plenty of money. And
but still,
Higgins,
it's only 1 year.
He'd take it, and it's 1 year. But
things can happen. Well, that's why you want multi-year contracts.
No doubt about it. But that's where
multi-year guarantee.
Guys are willing to play on the franchise tag if they're getting legitimate back and forth with the organization on a long-term deal that it actually is going to be
it
on
makes
par
sense.
With what
yes.
they could get in a free agent market.
Yes.
Where you see guys get disgruntled is the team just lowballs them. They know they only want them for there for a year, mostly with running backs mm-hmm. because your shelf life is so short.
Saquon.
And if I'm a running back, yeah, it does. If I'm a receiver, dude, go take your $25 million because it's not like your position is underpaid in the National Football League.
But
tight ends, I'd be like, dude, come on. Just give me a long-term agreement. A tight end is the most criminally underpaid position in all of sports compared to what other positions are given.
Particularly on a value scale.
An extension of your offensive line and your wide receivers. Mm-hmm. The good ones, the great ones, they are invaluable to your mm-hmm. team. And I still do not understand how in the world they are so underpaid. Yeah. I don't get it.
And they've done multiple arbitrations. So, all right, coming up next, we'll wrap up today's show with how do I phrase this? A big, what the hell are you doing to Adidas?
They did it again.
A travesty. Danny and Destiny, the fan. You want to win a 4-pack of tickets to the 67th annual Portland Metro RV Dealers Show? Now is your chance. During our show, Danny and Dusty, today through Friday, you can text in 503-864-6326 for your chance to win with the right code. The code today is RV. The letters R and V. Text RV to 503-864-6326 now to enter for your chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to the 67th annual Portland Metro RV Dealer Show on March 6th through the 9th this year. Head to 1080thefan.com for complete details. All right, as we get out of here, Adidas... They did it again.
It's so bad.
They have released new jerseys, and we have gone with the minimalism crap. It's so bad. It is a blank jersey with an Adidas logo at the collar with the team logo on the right breast pocket the size of a softball. It looks so bad.
Yeah, and they're known for doing this during March. Remember the fanny pack uniforms?
Yes.
The fanny pack uniforms may have been some of the worst that they did. They had the like tie-dye shorts that one
tiger
year.
Tiger stripe tie-dye kind of deal?
Yeah. Where I remember Louisville, they called it the infrared. Mm-hmm. Louisville
Notre
infrared.
Dame's were horrendous. Like it's puke green.
But they laid off it for a while. Now they're bringing it back. And look, Nike has whiffed on uniforms. I think the... City edition
most
uniforms
suck.
Are not good in the NBA.
No.
What this is, I don't know. The Texas A&M one, it is just a white uniform with just a red T.
It looks like somebody who couldn't afford the rights for a college team in a movie.
Yeah.
And said, that'll do.
Yeah. Way to go, Adidas. These are god-awful. These are the worst things that they've done to uniforms since the fanny pack.
Yeah, they're atrocious.
And what I don't, this is what I don't like. You're doing it to a lot of these teams. They have classic, phenomenal looks.
Yes.
Kansas, you don't need to screw with Kansas.
No.
You don't need to screw with Louisville.
No.
You don't need to screw with Indiana.
No.
You don't need to screw with Texas A&M even.
No.
Yeah. Are Texas A&M people in some sort of weird cult?
Yes.
Absolutely.
But
they are.
Jerseys? The word marks, the logo?
Don't need to change it.
They look good.
Yeah. If you want to do it with like Miami or Arizona State, go ahead. More power to you. If you have schools that don't have like a great uniform tradition, more
power.
Experiment
away.
Don't
screw with blue bloods like Kansas and Indiana.
Yeah. I don't understand it.
It's so weird.
And they're like, you know what? The thing that it's like all of the times that we say, how many levels did this need to get to
of approval?
Of people going, yeah, that looks good. Till we finally see it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, it's so bad. Doesn't make any sense.
So bad. Well, look good, feel good, play good. I'm not going to be betting on Texas A&M when they wear those.
Whenever
uniforms.
They wear those.
No, no. Could you imagine if they force them to wear, like, remember when it was the LeBron James in the jersey?
Oh, yeah.
He had to win a championship in a jersey, mm-hmm. a black Cavaliers
of which
jersey.
He ripped all of them.
Can you imagine if, like, Kansas wins a national title and they are in those
abominations?
Oh, you
mean you Mario Chalmers this thing?
And they're going to be in that
nasty thing?
And people are going to have to look back and have that be the look?
Ugh.
No, they won't, because they're going to lose, because you look good, you feel good, you play good.
Mm-hmm. Also, Kansas.
Whoa. Well, speaking of, Isaac is back from Kansas, and he will be on with 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's Prime Time with Isaac and Souk. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you Wednesday from noon to 3 right here on The Fan.
Bye.
Nice dumpy butt, Alice.